Okay, open your Bibles, please. We're going to be talking about Israel and the prophecies involved with Israel's fall. Back in time past, when Christ walked the earth, documented by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he walked the earth as the light of the world. He came for specific purposes, and we've mentioned those before. Let's review. Look at Romans 15, verse 8. Romans 15, 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was, and that's past tense, meaning when he came on earth, when he was walking the earth earlier, not at the time Paul wrote this, but earlier when Christ was on the earth. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Why? To confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So that's a great chapter there, the 15th chapter of Romans. A lot of insight about the times and the changing of the programs, God's programs, dispensations. But that does tell us that one reason Jesus came was to fulfill promises made to the fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, covenants that were made. Jacob, of course, was renamed Israel, and so he had 12 sons of Israel, the tribes called the children of Israel. Isaiah was a prophet to Israel, and he's speaking of himself and Israel in these following verses. All these words refer to Israel. When we say we, us all, my people, many, there, speaking of their iniquities, or the transgressors. All those words refer to Israel in these verses. So let's look through these verses. We'll start at Isaiah 53, verse 6. One of those promises which Jesus Christ came to fulfill for Israel, we can find seven times in Isaiah 53 between verses 6 and 12. So speaking of Israel, all we Israel, all we like sheep have gone astray. That's not saying we're Israel. It's talking about Israel, not those that are not separated out from the rest of us as Israel. It's talking about Israel. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And well, Israel was a special people by then. God had promised that he would make them a holy nation and a kingdom of priests. They were not to be like the rest of the world, the Gentiles, the heathen, who went about sinning as gleefully as they could. That is not what Israel was to be. But Isaiah is taking them to task. He says, all we, Israel, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all of Israel. Israel is what he's talking about here. So go on, verse 8. Isaiah 53:8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? And just as a reminder, the word generation does not necessarily mean, you know, a 20 or 30 year span from fathers to children to grandchildren. We often think of the word generation in that sense these days. However, generation, it can mean as a coach generates a great team. Snakes generate other snakes. A generation of vipers does not mean that a whole 20-year span of people is vipers. When he called them vipers, rather it means you Pharisees that I'm talking to, you are generated by vipers. Who's the one that's the viper? To me, that sounds... It sounds like a not-so-veiled reference to the serpent, and that in the spirit, in their spirit, they were his offspring. So at this point, the prophet is saying that he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation, the Messiah's generation? Who is going to be with his spirit? In other words, who shall declare who comes from him? Who he generates? Who shall declare? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. That's a reference to Psalm 27, verse 13. For the transgression of my people, that is Israel, he was stricken. Was he stricken? And according to the scripture, this person was stricken for the transgression of Israel, of my people. Anything beyond that was kept secret until at least Acts 9 at the earliest. Acts 9, after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, it was kept secret. Later, Christ revealed more about this from heaven, and we can learn that. He gave himself a ransom for all, it says in 1 Timothy 2:6. However, that earlier information was correct as far as it went. They were not told everything. He didn't say that's everything. There was some information held back. They were prophesied a whole lot, but there was a whole other body of information that was kept secret. That's called mystery information in the Bible. It was not talking about what Jesus, when he was on earth, referred to as the mysteries of the kingdom. Those were different. They were mysteries of the kingdom. The kingdom was the earthly agency of God to retake his authority on earth. But I'm talking about the mysteries of the body of Christ that were only revealed to Paul after Paul was saved, starting in Acts 9. So, with that in mind, let's go on with what Isaiah is telling to Israel. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Jesus Christ was without sin. He was sinless. He was not like what other people call prophets that had their own sin. Jesus Christ was without sin. But, you know, these people being written to back then, Israel back then, did not know Jesus Christ by name yet when this was written. It was not until this, you know, after this prophecy by Isaiah, that Daniel prophesied about the Messiah, the word Messiah being used, and that the Messiah was coming, and the 70 weeks, and the Messiah is being cut off. That was all in Daniel later on. All Israel had been told so far was that this person would take the sins of Israel on himself and be stricken for them, and that he was sinless. He had no violence, no deceit. So going on to verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant... Now, it's going to go on to tell something, but here he gets a name, or at least a title, my righteous servant. And this is talking about Jesus Christ, but they do not know that yet. Israel had not been told that yet. This is a new revelation, prophetic revelation. It was told to them at this time. It's in the scriptures, in the Old Testament scriptures, that he will be called my righteous servant. And he goes on and he says, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. the iniquities of many people. It doesn't say all yet, though. Something's wrong, isn't it? Or it's just not revealed. Not yet revealed. We know it now, but they didn't. They had no idea it was going to be for all people. Available to all. So there it is. Two more times. My righteous servant shall justify many. Many is not all the world. He takes Israel's transgressions on himself, and he is stricken for them. And that he shall bear the iniquities. They're going astray. And here again, the word "there" in this phrase is their iniquities. It's talking about the same people that Isaiah has been talking about all through here. My people, Israel. Verse 12. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. So we find out later, only from Paul and the revelation Jesus Christ made from heaven to Paul, that he bore the sin of all people. 1 Timothy 2:6 again. He gave himself a ransom for all. And therefore, when the time was right, when the right time came, God exposed the fact that he had, well, it had been true all along that Christ died for all, for the world. But it was a new revelation when it was first told. That's the part of the body of mystery information that God kept secret, one of the parts. And he kept it secret on purpose until Christ in heaven began revealing those secrets to us, only through Paul, though. Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles. So when they say, why do you treat Paul so specially? Paul is the only one that has this information by which we can be saved. We're thankful. We, like Paul, magnify his office, the office that God created for Paul to fill, to get the information from Christ to us in the Bible. Only Paul received those revelations. Peter confirmed it and verified it, that Paul's writings were scripture, not just Paul's musings and imaginings. No, it's scripture. It's inspired of God. However, up till then, back in Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament, they were only told that he bare the sin of many. In other words, the word many referred to the ones he's talking about, referred to Israel, and made intercession for the transgressors, it says. So one of the promises which Jesus Christ came to fulfill in Romans 15:8 was to be stricken for the transgression of my people Israel. When it talks about my people, it's talking about Israel. To make his soul an offering for sin, for he shall bear their iniquities. He shall bear the sin of many, Israel. That's as much as they were told at the time. That is the extent of the information that they had been given. There were other facts that we know about now. However, they simply had not been told what was being kept secret. God kept the secret on purpose, and with good reason. And this shows the progressive nature of the Bible. It does tell us more as you go along through it. You learn more and more. God reveals more and takes humanity through a path, a trail. At one time they didn't realize that all people were sinners. Then the law came and they realized, well, who? Let's see, is there anybody that's kept the law? How about you over there? Anybody? Nobody had kept the law. Nobody had been able to. They all needed to, have sacrifices for their shortcomings. Back then, they did not know about trusting the blood of Jesus. Just like we heard in the earlier lesson, it's just fictitious to claim that they looked forward to the cross and trusted Jesus as their Savior like we do. That's just not in the scripture. It's from people that don't study the scripture and know what the scripture does say. But, you know, that back then, it wasn't a matter of trusting the blood of Christ, that having died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. They did not know anything about that. They had not been given that gospel. They had a gospel. Gospel means good news. There are gospels that save, the gospel of salvation, but there are other gospels too, besides gospels of salvation. God was bringing a kingdom to them if they would receive it. And they did not receive it. But that was their good news. It was the gospel of the kingdom, that the kingdom was at hand. Israel's time had run out. They had broken and broken the covenants which God had given them. Many times God had mercifully gone beyond their covenants to take them back, beyond his obligation in the covenants, to take Israel back as his people, repeatedly. Finally, the prophesied judgment for the, you know, for their centuries and centuries of apostasy, iniquity, and rebellion, it had come due. And their Messiah had come to be stricken for the transgressions of my people, Israel, to justify many, to bear their iniquities, to bear the sin of many. And that was all they knew. God, he no longer would allow them to postpone the sin offering that God was making for them, the Lamb of God. Therefore, God hardened them in their rebellion. Just like he hardened Pharaoh after Pharaoh made his choice, two chapters later, he hardens him. And God hardened Israel in their rebellion until he accomplished Israel's reconciliation by the death of the Lamb of God for Israel's sin. So, with this compulsion, Jesus had said to Israel in John 9, verse 4, we read it earlier, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus informed Israel that soon he would be absent from them. As we, you know, read further in the passage this time, we can see that this time God had prepared the situation for the completion of Israel's redemption. He was going through with it now. It was not no longer putting it off, taking them back and saying in the future we'll have to. You know, they were just remitted sins. It was a future forgiveness that they were looking forward to. Well, the cross is coming. So, John 12, verses 30, let's look starting in 35, and we'll go on down six verses or so. Starting in John 12, 35, Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you, boy, you can see that too when people come into the room and the questions they ask and just intending not to believe. He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Do you see that? That's in John 12, as late as John 12, the last week before Christ's crucifixion. Israel's 12 apostles still did not believe on him. Therefore, earlier, when Christ sent them out in Matthew 10, they were not preaching that Christ died for our sins. They were preaching the kingdom was at hand. The kingdom coming from God's kingdom in heaven, coming down to earth. And they preached, believe that the king is here. Repent about your apostasy. And like sheep going astray after other gods, that's what they needed to repent from. That's the gospel they were to preach, that the gospel, well, that the kingdom is at hand. And that was, it was different. It's not what we have today. It doesn't work today. There's no sense looking in the Bible and saying, oh, there's a gospel, I'll believe that. That the kingdom is coming, that doesn't work. That's not for us. It was different from believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, and be saved. Today, we have that gospel. And it's by grace. It's not by grace and works, or by faith and works, or by enduring to the end. It's by belief, by faith in what God told us, that he would save us if we believe that Christ died for our sins. Let's look at John 12, starting in verse 37 now. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias saith again. And before we get to that, that's why I said before that God hardened them in their position, so that God could go ahead and finish the reconciliation of Israel. But it says, because that Esaias said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hath hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, nor and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Excuse me just a minute, please. Webster's dictionary says that dark means destitute of light, lacking illumination. So then, what is it? What is it that when it's missing produces the darkness? When you're without what, do you end up with darkness? It's when you don't have light. That's light that we're talking about here. And who is the light of the world? The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus did hide himself from them as a mere preview, as we read earlier in the verse there. He hid himself from them, and it was a confirmation for Israel. Israel requires a sign. It was a confirmation that in the future, Jesus would be gone from them, not just hiding. The light had to leave Israel in order for God to later reveal his hidden wisdom to Paul for us. And you can see that in Romans 11, that though they stumbled, they didn't have to fall. But through Israel's fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. One reason why Jesus Christ had to come was to fulfill the promises made to the fathers, part of which he did at the cross. And after Israel's fall in Acts 7, God never again offered the kingdom from heaven to Israel on earth. From then on, that was the fall of Israel, when they stoned Holy Ghost-filled Stephen. And from then on, that offer has continued to be withdrawn. It's not offered anymore. Israel's bright light, the light of the world, to which the Gentiles would come during the rise of Israel, it was no longer, that light was no longer lighting the world. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, had gone. It was night. And we'll get into more next time. That's it for today. Please, if I missed anything, any questions about it, or if I misspoke, let me know. And if you have a question, put it in text, or come to the mic if you choose to do it that way.